This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 219 of What Did You Watch This Week? I don't want to talk too fast. My name is Mike.
My name is John. I don't mind talking fast.
Oh, I was told today I needed to slow down, but was given no guidance on how to talk slower training something that I had never trained before. So how the fuck would I know how to slow down something that I've only done one time?
Your mouth?
Shut up. John.
You know, I was thinking about it for tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, there may not be a lot of shows on right now.
Yeah.
But I legitimately think we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Okay.
And we'll get into everything, but just off the top of my head, we've got 4 episodes of The Twilight Zone to talk about.
Yeah.
I watched them.
I need to keep watching them,
right.
John.
Right.
Okay. I haven't watched any more than the 4, and I only got a month free, and I ain't spending any fucking money, John. No money spending.
Okay. We've got to talk about the finale of Upload that we watched last week after we finished recording.
That was awesome, by the way.
Yep. We've got to talk about Dark.
Yep.
We've got to talk about Unsolved Mysteries.
Yep.
And we've got We both watched Warrior Nun,
yep.
And we've got at least 2 movies that we both were supposed to watch that we can talk about.
Sure.
Well, one that I was watching to catch up being My Spy,
yep.
And then we both were supposed to watch Hole in the Ground.
I did.
And I did as well. So we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I want to get in depth on some of these.
Okay.
Where would you like to begin?
Let's just start with Upload, seeing how it's all over with.
Yes.
And all episodes dropped May 1st, so really there's no spoiler issue. At this point, where
right.
It's July 7th.
Yeah. And everybody's stuck at home, so.
Right, right. I don't know how satisfied I was with the ending, because I think it was just too damn sad.
Sad and cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah. Big old cliffhanger.
As far as satisfaction goes, I will say I'm glad that I stuck with this show.
Me too.
Because it really, like, it started off a little bit weak.
Yeah.
And we were both like, eh. But it really pulled ahead in the end. Giggity.
So the 2 episodes we had to watch, one was Update Eve,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was called Freond.
Lot of knowledge dropped, lot of puzzle pieces put into place. Like,
yeah.
Like things that have kind of been a mystery all along.
Yeah, like basically, Lakeview's having an update. Everyone needs to be asleep for the update.
And there's all kinds of things, like there's going to be dolphins and whales. And
unicorns, and yeah.
Oh, and they're getting new taste buds. Like,
yes.
Up until now, they've only had, like, salty. Yeah. And now they're going to have, like, sweet and sour or something.
Right,
like that.
Yeah. It's just – which yeah. Nathan never even noticed
right.
until it was pointed out to him. So, everyone – the Lakeview residents and the Horizon employees and everything have to get ready for the upgrade.
They all have to be asleep because otherwise they'll be screaming bloody messes.
Well, that's what they're told, but then we obviously find out that's not true.
No, because he does get put to sleep.
Well, no. It won't even do the update unless he's asleep.
Right. Yes.
Because, like, you know, they have this big meeting with HR or tech or whatever where they're like, oh, well, and the meeting is in the virtual world because they're all together. And basically it's, if your person's not asleep, it's going to be bad. They'll be screaming bloody messes, all this other shit like that. But then we find out later that Nora and Nathan's plan is for Nathan to stay awake through the upgrade because hopefully it's going to restore his memories.
Right.
And that's what they want to find out what happened. During that meeting, Nora steals this pen from one of the tech people there.
I love that thing.
And it allows Nathan to, like, tap on a computer or tap on a desk and access like a computer, so he can reprogram things.
It's a backdoor.
Yeah.
So he can hack it.
Yeah, so he can program things in there, like changing the color of a desk or doing this or doing that or whatever he needs to do. Nathan decides to break up with Ingrid.
Mm-hmm. And the only way that he'll be able to afford anything is to basically go down to the two gigs.
Yeah, become a two gig. And so he decides that's what he's going to do after the update. I thought it was interesting that he didn't tell Ingrid he was going to break up with her.
Yeah, he did. Remember, because that's why she like got drunk and blew up at her father.
I thought that was after he already told them he was going to become a two gig, and then she got a notification that said he was switching to two gig. Then she showed up to speak to him. So he went down to two gig before he broke up with her. Like, he made the decision, hey, I'm going to two gig tomorrow. She got the notification, and that's what caused her to go speak to him.
Okay.
And then he did break up with her. We're basically like, look, I don't know if I love you.
It was a week ago.
That's fine. And then she got drunk because she broke up with him and blew up at her father, who's making his own version of the free afterlife, if you will. And we find out that Ingrid's dad had Nathan killed.
Well, we find out that a lot of things in the memories that popped up. You're right. He had Nathan killed because Nathan and his business partner pitched their free idea to Ingrid's dad.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep it free. He wanted to commercialize it, and they were like, no, we want to keep it free. And so they couldn't come to an agreement. And then Nathan went and visited Ingrid's dad and had a one-on-one with him. And basically the dad was like, you know, he may have he may have filed the business license, but you could, you know, anonymously slip us the code, and then we could do our own thing.
Yep.
And it could make you very rich. And Nathan was like, how rich?
Yeah.
So we're led to believe that Nathan's a piece of shit.
Yeah, basically Nathan have the plan to have him get his memories to sleep, be awake through the update. As the update curtain is coming at them, it basically won't do the update if he's still awake. In fact, unless he's put to sleep, it's going to cancel the update. But it does say, do you want to restore all memories before putting him to sleep or something? And so she does.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's worried that it's going to reboot him back to before.
To the first day that he got there.
And she won't know. He won't know who she is.
Right.
So he's put to sleep. We get the update. We're into the next episode. Nathan wakes up. Nora wakes him up. And Nathan pretends to not know him.
And it was heartbreaking in the beginning.
Initially, we think he really doesn't know who she is. But then he remembers everything. And basically, you know, tells someone else, like...
Tells his roommate.
His buddy there, I remember who I am. I'm a big piece of shit, and I'm too embarrassed to even, you know, talk to Nora, because I don't want her to know who I was. I want her to know who I am now. But then she goes and watches his memories.
Yeah.
And is just like, you are a piece of shit. Like, I don't know if I want anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes down to the two gig world, and he's trying to call Nora, but he's finding out in the two gig world, anything he does uses data like that.
Even overthinking.
Yeah, even overthinking. Because like someone there is like, don't think too hard. You're going to use all your data. Mm-hmm. God, that would suck.
Yeah.
Basically, Nora's in trouble. The guy that was hired to kill Nathan, we're assuming, and to steal his hard drive and throw it in the fountain that day and everything, is going after Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And so he basically uses up the rest of his data to use that computer hack thing that she gave him, find the cameras, get her help, and control an elevator
The
elevator go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down.
So fast.
That this guy basically ruptures. We don't see it, but we see the elevator open. There's just blood everywhere. And he's not even looking at the screen while he does it because he's at the camera.
A woman screams. A guy starts vomiting.
Yeah. And then you just see blood splattered all through the elevator. So he's not going to bother Nora anymore. So Nora basically is like, I still love you. You still love me. This is awesome. You know, I know you're a two gig, but we're going to make this work. We're going to figure something out. But
he doesn't hear it.
He doesn't hear it because she's talking to him, but he runs out of data. And that's what's heartbreaking, because it's like, she's like, Nathan, Nathan. And it cuts to him and it shows zero data and he's grayed out now.
Yep. And then, as if it couldn't get worse than that, Ingrid shows up in his room and sees that he's out of data. So she reaches down to her wrist and she like basically fronts him a gig to boot him back up. And he's like, oh, you know, he picks up right where he left off and he sees Ingrid in front of him. And she's like, don't worry. I've come to live with you.
I've been uploaded.
Yeah. She voluntarily uploaded herself.
Yeah. And he screams, what? And his dad is gone like that. That one gig is instantly gone. So he's frozen again in a scream.
Yeah. And that's how we're left.
And she's like, tech support. Tech support. And she's an idiot. So.
But we did find out another redeeming quality of her is that she knew that dad had decided to kill Nathan.
Yeah.
And she enabled the safe passenger feature on the car.
Passenger priority.
Yeah.
Passenger priority.
So she knew that dad was trying to kill him, and she went behind his back and basically.
But is that real? Okay, so she knew she tried to kill him. Maybe she really does love him, or is this guilt now? She could have told him.
Oh, it's probably guilt.
And then he wouldn't have died, which is why she probably uploaded him, which is why she's probably done everything she's done.
And we were
guilt.
They kind of nailed that home with the immediate interaction after that between her and her dad. She had like a plate of food and her dad like basically called her an idiot or something like that. And she dumped the food on the floor and he goes, oh, your maid is cleaning that up. And Ingrid goes, make her, I dare you.
Right.
Just to remind us that these people have no concept of humanity.
Correct.
As it is.
Correct.
Like it's beyond them. So yeah, I'm excited for the second season, but yeah, it was, I hate when a season ends like that, ends on like a really sad and then cliffhangery note.
Oh, also Nora fled after this guy in the elevator. She left to go be someplace off the grid where they can't find her anymore and to be safe. Mm-hmm. So. Has it been renewed for a second season?
It has, but
good.
It won't be out till like 2022, I think they said.
Hey, as long as we get it.
Right. Oh, before I forget, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yep.
Because somebody told me and I checked it and it's true. Amazon Prime has Guns Akimbo right now.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think we both need to make an effort. I already added it to my movie list for next week's episode. So I think that we need to make sure that we have watched that for next week. Because I know that we're going to be recording a little early. Like right now, it's Tuesday. We're recording a day late.
Yeah.
And then our next recording will be Sunday because Mike's going on vacation with
the family. I'm going on vacation. We're going camping Monday through Friday.
You're
going
to be in a cabin.
I'm going to camper. Hey, it's supposed to rain Monday, Tuesday, so I don't regret my decision. Yeah, we can still go away. Still have a campfire if it stops raining at night.
I think much like Silly Putty, people have stretched the definition of camping.
Well, no. When I was a kid, we went camping at the Birch's Campground. We had a camper and we were seasonals. We
lived all
summer. Yeah.
When I went camping, it was always a tent.
No, we didn't.
Tent.
Yeah.
It was in tents.
We did some tenting, but now when I have one vacation a year with the kids, I don't want it to get ruined and be sitting in a tent and fucking pouring rain. I've done that. That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
People ask me why I don't like camping.
Yeah.
Tents.
Right. So we go and we stay at the cabin at the campground, or we're renting an RV this time. Because the RV has four bunk beds on one end and a queen-size bed on the other with a door that closes. Mm. So privacy. For the sake of privacy.
Nice.
And if it does rain, we have a place we can be where it's dry. If it's balls nasty hot at night, turn the AC on. I don't care. Yeah. It's glamping, if you want to call it that. But we get to go away and not be home and not worry about anything. So
it's high class homelessness.
But I'll tell you, probably going to have watched a whole lot from this coming Sunday to when we get back, where I'll be no internet all week.
Well, I assume there'll be some Twilight Zone in there because you seem pretty adamant about that.
Yeah, I got to finish that.
Yeah.
So I'll have a couple of days to watch stuff when we get back, basically.
Although, since we're on that subject, I'll just throw this out there. August 6th is the official launch date for Lower Decks. Animated Star Trek comedy series.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Yeah. So.
Fuck.
Yeah. You may have to do another month.
I may have to just wait until Discovery Season 3 is up there. So, yeah, I was a big fan of Upload, and I'm glad it got renewed.
Yes.
And, yeah. I want to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, yeah, we've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I forgot we've also got Hannibal.
Go ahead with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know, I had seen a thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that said that in this episode, Daisy gets literally tortured. Not really, though. Like, when I watched the episode, I'm like, she got blood and spinal fluid drained from her.
She does. We don't see it. When we see her, she's all nicely bandaged up.
Yeah.
Which I'm not trying to belittle what happened.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like she was dumped on the floor or we saw her being tortured or listened to her scream.
Right.
She just, you know, Sousa, what'd you do with Daisy? Well, I took her spinal fluid and some blood, and if that doesn't work, we'll have to do some more. And then he's like, oh, she's all nicely bandaged and...
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. Like, although she somehow managed to take a giant shard of glass and embed it in her skin.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't explain that one.
So this episode I had a few issues with because, you know, a couple seasons back we had the whole LMD thing and the big mystery of the LMD and the big twist, kind of like the Secret Wars, you know, with the Skrulls and stuff, the whole twist with the LMDs was you never knew who was real and who was an LMD.
Sure.
Well, now they're just repeating that again with the Chronicoms.
Yes, they are.
To the point where in this episode we saw that the Chronicoms will now grab somebody, suck all of their memories out into a host, and then suck their face off and put it on them. And it's like, oh, now you're that person because you have all the memories, but you're a Chronicom. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, well, they had managed to figure out a way to do that from the 40s to the 70s or whatever it was. Yeah.
So, again, we got more Patrick Warburton, which I love.
Yep.
But it just felt to me like you guys have already done this with the LMDs. Sure. You've even got Coulson, who's an LMD. So why are you still, like, why go back to this? Why couldn't you give us something different?
I agree with that.
And
it's a little bit lazy writing.
It is, you know? And then, of course, you know, May has the power of empathy. So she can tell who's a Chronicom because when they touch her, I don't feel anything.
Right.
I did like their little exchange when they were going back and forth. It was really cool because, you know, Coulson's like, I died. She's like, you die a lot.
Yep.
She's like, you've died so many times and I've mourned you. And he's like, well, I've mourned you. And they both, you know, had their, but then he just like, she goes, I didn't feel anything. So she's a Chronicom. He's like, okay. And he just like pops off the cuffs and he's like, all right, let's get going.
Yeah.
No big shocker whatsoever, but it turns out that Mac's parents were Chronicoms.
Right.
So he got to have his little, I'm a 6'8" rugged tough guy, but I'm going to go pout on my motorcycle at the end.
Yes.
You know, he got to have his moment.
Which fucked him and Deke over.
Yeah. More so Deke because he was pouting. And he's like,
I just got to go. And he speeds away 50 feet?
Yeah. So.
And then he's like, oh, I know I can't go too far, but. At least I got to ride my bike for 50 feet.
Because, again, they're doing these twists that are redundant. They've already done this before with the LMDs.
Mm-hmm.
So to find out that his parents are actually Chronicoms, okay, so now he's sad. Okay, it comes with the line of work.
Kills them both.
Yeah, yeah, by kicking his mom out of the plane.
But you would think he would have remembered the second his parents were actually Chronicoms, you think he would have remembered growing up without his parents.
You'd think, but wibbly wobbly, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode didn't do a lot for me. We had what's his name there? I can't even think of his name, but he's basically the guy who grabbed Daisy and
Freddy's son there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I want to say Von Strucker, but it's not.
It's not.
But yeah,
Nathaniel.
Yes, and Nathaniel's whole thing is that he doesn't care about Hydra.
Nope.
No, they worship some space snake. He wants to be an Inhuman.
Yeah.
He saw Daisy's powers, and he wants to embed them in himself.
And he tries.
It was a fun little conversation that Coulson had with that lady Chronicom, who, like, is basically, she gives them all the answers, because she can't see the future, but she sees the past, and so she decides what's going to happen, and she knows what's coming, and blah, 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 blah. So she basically said that, you know, she was like, oh, he's going to try to take Daisy's powers. Will he succeed? 22% chance. Will she survive? 86% chance. Okay, that's good enough for me.
Yep.
And sure enough, he comes in, and we get a flashback to, you know, what Daisy experienced the first time she got her powers, and he's like, my bones are liquefying. And
yeah.
He brings the whole place down on top of himself, only himself, though.
Yeah. Sousa and Daisy escape.
Yep.
if you will. And we don't see how they get back to the Zephyr, but they do.
Yeah, Sousa with his busted up leg.
Yeah, but they get back to the Zephyr. Here's the thing. I like that Sousa has stayed with them. I like that he continued to go with them to the 70s when he was going to stay back. I like that he's still with them now. I like that he's basically a full member of the team.
Yep.
It just brings me happiness because it ties him from, you know, Agent Carter series to Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I don't know.
Yeah, and he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is. I dig his character a lot.
But Coulson sacrificed himself because that's what he does to blow up the Chronicom ship, which that woman, the chronicler there, even bragged about it. She's like, you'll find it underground. That's why it doesn't appear on any of your sensors.
Yeah.
So he blows it up. And dies in the process, and May's like, he'll be back.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, yeah, I'm not afraid to die. In fact, it's kind of my superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know he'll be back.
I did see the preview on one of my channels for this week's.
Yeah.
And he's pulling a full max headroom. They're in the 80s.
Yes.
Coulson's head is on a TV with a max headroom background.
Oh, I love it. I'm sorry, but I'll just say I love it.
Yeah.
The Zephyr jumps again. With Mac and Deke outside.
Don't forget, we had Deke and Gemma trying to fix the shielding, because if they try to jump, then any parts that aren't shielded won't jump, and anybody who's in those parts will be liquefied instantly. So they have to fix the shielding.
Oh, yeah.
And we discovered that Enoch's been helping her because she put an inhibitor in her brain that blocks out all memories of where Fitz is, because she can't know where Fitz is, because then the Chronicons can know where Fitz is. But it's been blocking out things that it shouldn't. Like, that's why she asked Enoch, should I know how to repair this?
Right. And that's why she's been forgetting things. So Enoch had to do a little repair work on her.
Yeah.
The Zephyr jumps to 1982. And Zeke and Mac get left in 1982. Which, okay, that works. The next week's episode, or this week's episode, is called The Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D.
Looks like Mac has a big old beard.
Nice. So I'll be curious to see what happens. Curious to see where the Zephyr jumped to.
Yep. And how they're going to screw up the timeline this time.
Oh, yeah, you know they will. Because now, aren't the Chronicons defeated, as far as we know?
Their ship was, but the Zephyr doesn't jump unless the Chronicons do. So.
Right, why did the Zephyr jump?
Right.
I still enjoy the show, and I think this is my favorite season so far.
It's a really good season. Wait, Ghost Rider?
Oh, fuck. Okay, the half of the season with Ghost Rider was the best season so far.
Yeah.
This is my second season. Yeah, that's true.
I will also say that I finished season 2 of Queer Eye.
Oh, okay.
Loved every minute of it, except Jonathan's stupid fucking handlebar mustache. On top of
a beard,
an unshaved face.
Yeah, that doesn't get any better.
I just looked at it and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, that looks terrible. On anybody, that would look terrible. So, yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. But, no, it was a good season. I really enjoy the show. My mom's now addicted to it. She'll be like, I love this show so much.
It's such a good show. We still have some episodes left to watch we haven't watched yet.
I think... What happens, though, is, like, if you go on Netflix and you go to watch it, it starts you right off at season 5. So you have to actually manually go down and search
for it. Yes, you do have to go.
She didn't know that, so she's like, oh, yeah, they're in Illinois. I'm like, Illinois? They're in Georgia.
Pennsylvania.
So she's watching season 5. And,
okay.
Yeah.
We watched America's Got Talent.
Yes.
This episode is episode 6 of this season.
Okay.
And the first 5 episodes were filmed before the COVID breakout. And everything shut down, so they have an audience and everything else. Well, now season 6, this episode 6, no audience. So it's a lot different when these acts come out. And you think, okay, well, all these singing acts like American Idol, when they all audition, they audition just for the judges, a cappella, usually, or maybe they'll bring a guitar or another instrument.
Right.
But they're auditioning for the judges just themselves, no audience. Whereas every other show, even like The Voice or America's Got Talent, there's always a big audience. And then even American Idol, near the end, they have a big audience. Now, obviously, this last season of The Voice, they had to finish out the show with no audience as well as the live shows. But so America's Got Talent, though, when you're watching like a big exciting magic act or stand-up comedian or anything besides just singing, it's really awkward when there's no audience.
I can imagine.
But it was a good show.
Good.
It was a good show. It'd be interesting to see what they do like for the upcoming rounds or these acts that come from out of the country that advanced to the live shows later on. But now that we're at the point where we're going to have the live shows here, but we can't have audiences, are these people that advance that live in, like, say, Germany or another country, are they going to be able to get over here or not? That'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still digging it.
Thanks. I got to say, I broke my pattern, and I watched two episodes this week of Love Life, that one on HBO Max.
Sure.
Really digging this show. Because of the different characters and the different stories that are going on. But the reason that I watched two episodes was because the week before, I told you about the episode. It was called Magnus Lund Part 1.
Sure.
And then there was the episode, the next one, I can't remember the guy's name. But then the one after that was called Magnus Lund Part 2. And I'm like, what happened here? So at the end of Magnus Lund Part 1, he proposed to her.
Sure.
Even though he's like depressive and he's got some major issues. So we kind of got an intermediary episode, and what it turns out was it was her talking to a therapist about how she sent herself to boarding school when she was in high school because her parents had gotten divorced and she kept getting bounced back and forth, and her dad was like kind of a freewheeling, hey, blah, 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 and he got his girlfriend pregnant again, so she was going to have another little sibling running around, and her mom was just a nightmare, so she sent herself to boarding school thinking that it would be like Hogwarts, and it wasn't. But it shows her like trying to fit in there and getting to know this one cool kid, and you know, he spent time in France and he's just a cool dude. And she has like her first kiss and her first relationship with him, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things go wrong, and she, instead of taking ownership of everything, I'm not going to go into full details, but instead of taking ownership, she fakes cancer.
Oof.
And everybody...
I'm sorry. That is a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. And everybody buys into it. And they're all, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's getting, like, gifts. And people are like, oh, you poor thing, blah, blah, blah. And she really sells it. And then she gets found out. And the whole school hates her, so she has to leave boarding school because, you know, they all hate her. But then we jump back to Magnus Lund Part 2, which is a year after he proposed to her. They went down to the Justice of Peace, and they got married. So that's why they had the break in the episodes like that. And he's still a piece of shit, but the kid from boarding school shows up because he's a lawyer, and he's in town on a conference, and he happens to look her up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
From time that they did a performance of Cats in their boarding school, and they get together and they hook up, and Magnus is just a piece of shit. He's that guy that, you know, he doesn't want to look for a job because, you know, he thinks he's got a lawsuit with the wrongful termination from that place. He shouldn't have been fired. And, you know, that guy's a piece of shit, and I'm going to call him up and I'm going to tell him that if he doesn't hire me back, there's going to be trouble. And she's like, isn't that extortion? He's like,
that is extortion.
He's like,
yeah.
No, this will work. And she's like, yeah, don't do that. So he's the biggest dirtbag piece of shit boyfriend, to the point where when she finally breaks up with him, he's like, first he starts like telling her she can't go. And then he tells her, if you do, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to go out in the kitchen. I'm going to cut my wrists and you're going to have to call 911 and tell them that my body is there because of you. And he just complete douchebag.
All right, go ahead. Start carving yourself up. I'll wait till you bleed out fully before I hit that second one.
Exactly. Yep. So it's a very decent show, honestly. I'm really enjoying it. And I will also say, as long as we're talking about HBO Max, I watched the first episode of the second season of Doom Patrol.
Oh, did you love it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've heard so much good stuff.
It's called Fun Size Patrol.
Oh, nice.
Because you watched the whole first season, right?
Yeah, I did.
Well, at the end of the first season, you know, they got out of the painting. They're all still shrunk.
Yes.
And so this season, the first episode, all of them except for Negative Man,
right,
are all shrunk. And you get to watch him do things like make them breakfast where he's got like little tweezers and he's making pancakes with butter and syrup. Tiny people who are living on that model racetrack that they have.
Yeah.
And it's a riot. And, God, what's his last name? Mark Shepard comes back.
Nice.
It's just, I love this show. I fucking love this show.
Part of me wants to get HBO Max, and then the other part of me doesn't want to spend $15 a month on that.
I get that. Like, right now on HBO Max, Scoob.
Yeah.
You know?
It's already on there?
It's already on there. Oh, wow. Which I know your kids would love.
Yes, they would.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there, honestly. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, you can get all this stuff on HBO, because they've got the originals.
But here's the other thing. The Roku app doesn't support HBO Max. There's no, HBO Max has no Roku app.
And that's a problem.
You can watch it through. How can you watch it through? There's a workaround. It's through the Roku TV app. You can subscribe to HBO Max.
Oh.
But I don't know how the on-demand portion of that would work.
Mm.
Same thing with, like, when you had it through Hulu. Mm-hmm. Kind of, like, you could look stuff up, but you couldn't just go search HBO stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Don't they have a promo where you can do, like, Hulu? Oh, but it's not the Hulu with no ads.
Right. And I already have Hulu. I'm already paying for Hulu no ads.
Well, no, I thought there was like a deal with Hulu with no ads and HBO Max, like a package deal. But
I don't know. There may or may not be.
I will also say this. I have a friend who has an inside track because he works for AT&T Time Warner.
Sure.
And he said that he saw some internal press briefings that at the very least the animated Harley Quinn show was coming to HBO Max.
That doesn't surprise me. I can see everything going to HBO Max.
There's also talk that I saw recently of them reviving Swamp Thing on HBO Max because they'd actually have the budget for it.
Right.
So
I did see that Stargirl got renewed for a second season it's going to be a CW exclusive starting with the second season.
Do you think they're finally giving up on the DC Universe?
What do you mean?
Well, you figure Doom
Patrol. Oh, the DC Universe app. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because
Doom Patrol has moved over here. Harley Quinn's going to move over here. It's already been on Sci-Fi. Now it's going to move over here. Stargirl and Swamp Thing, both CW, and now Stargirl staying on the CW.
Yeah, I see the DC Universe app being merged with HBO Max.
I think that's probably what you'll see is, you know, they'll put things like Titans on there because it would be in their best interest, you know? People don't want to pay for multiple different apps, but boy, if they could just do HBO Max and get the DC stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many options out there right now, so many things going on. It's like CBS All Access. Like, it doesn't kill me to spend $10 once a month, $10 once in a while to watch the shows I want to watch. Right. Same thing with Shudder. Shudder, get some stuff I want to watch, spend $4, I think, for a month once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of do that now, like High Spots Network. I'll chill out the $8 twice a year to get and then watch a bunch of stuff they have. I get that, but
but then you get your Netflix and your Hulu that are, like, you have to have them at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And then Disney Plus is no big deal because I prepaid for 3 years.
I got that super cheap deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I don't have to worry about that for a while.
Yep.
So that's nice. You know, and then WWE Network I pay for every month as well, which I can't not at this point.
Not for you, right.
And then New Japan World I pay for every month. So I'm not spending, I spend $45 a month on my streaming services currently, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Still cheaper than cable.
Yep.
That's kind of how I
even if you added HBO Max, it would be $60, which is cheaper
than still cable. Cheaper than cable, yeah. Yeah.
And that's not me pushing, that's just saying, you know, mathematically.
I know.
I think you'd enjoy it, though. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff on there and a lot more original programming's coming.
I think if they had a straight-up Roku app, I'd be more apt to do it. Where they don't, and I have to fucking backdoor it either through the Roku channel or through Hulu or something.
Right.
Do they have an app on Amazon Fire?
No, that was another one that they didn't have.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can you even watch, like, do you have the HBO Max app?
I have a Samsung TV, and so it installed right by itself. Yeah, I just typed in HBO Max, and the first thing was HBO Max Roku. HBO Max can be accessed on your Roku.
Yeah. If you have it's available on Android TV, Apple TV, Chromecast, ISO, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Samsung Smart TV platforms from 2016 on. And the new app is actually just an update of the existing HBO Now apps on those platforms.
Yeah, and then I've got this here. A month since HBO Max launched, why is it not on Roku or Amazon?
Yeah. Which seems kind of crazy, really.
Yeah, it really does. Because Roku is one of the most popular
It really is. It'd be like saying, I'm going to have a podcast, but not put on Apple Podcasts when that was a thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to make computer software, but I'm not going to make it for Windows-based.
Right.
Or I'm not going to make it for Android-based.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you don't want a good, you know, hot-selling software. Because think of how much more that HBO Max market could be opened up to if they had a Roku and fucking Amazon app.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I understand the Amazon thing is probably this them just wanting to have a pissing war with Amazon.
Because
they're like, you know, we don't want you to have both of them.
Right.
But all they're doing is hurting themselves if people can't access their stuff. It could be Amazon is saying, we don't want to play with you. I don't know.
You know, I forget that we subscribe to Amazon Prime, like Kate does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $10 a month. But you get so much more than just streaming TV shows with that. Right. She actually doesn't do it for the Amazon Prime TV. She does it for the music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why. Cause she
I do it for the free shipping.
She was doing it for she was doing Apple Music. Mm-hmm. And I think that either the price went up or it went away or something happened. And it was just like, wait a second. I can do Amazon Prime for the same price or cheaper. Get the streaming video as well and the free shipping. So she switched over to Amazon Prime.
I do Spotify for all my music. I love Spotify.
I don't – I have Spotify, but I don't really stream music anymore like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly listening to podcasts now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do want to –
It has a podcast player in it, just FYI. But Pocket Cast is better.
I have Pocket Cast, which I like better. I tried Spotify's podcast player. I didn't like it, so I stuck with Pocket Cast. But sometimes when I am mowing the lawn, I will put it on a Spotify playlist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, I definitely give a thumbs up to HBO Max as of right now.
Okay.
I really love Doom Patrol and I'm really digging Love Life. I think your wife would like Love Life.
Probably she would.
I think the two of you would. And that one's already gotten renewed for a second season.
So we both started Dark. How many episodes did you end up watching?
4.
I watched 2.
Okay.
Because I did. Did you watch it in German with subtitles?
Yes.
Makes you have to sit there and watch the show when you do that.
Oh, very much.
Not and
I said that right in the beginning. I was like, you're not going to be able to do anything else.
Because
if you look away from the screen, you've lost everything.
Yeah. Well, if you start to doze off,
yeah,
fucked. Which is why I stopped at 2 episodes. I was like, all right, I'm tired. I got to go to bed.
I'll be honest. I'm still waiting for the big, like, oh, my God, you have to watch this show moment.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Why don't you tell me what you've seen in the 2 episodes that you've watched? Because, like I said, I've seen 4.
Okay. So, in the 2 episodes, basically, first episode's a pretty slow burn.
Very slow burn.
But we get introduced to a bunch of different characters.
Uh-huh.
And
we know, above all else,
yeah,
there's a missing kid.
There's a missing kid named Eric.
Yep.
He...
And that's with a K, because, you know, it's German.
It's German. And they keep talking about... Okay, there's a police officer named... Okay, the show opens. The show opens with a guy named Michael who kills himself.
Yes.
Writes a letter, says, do not open this prior to like November 4th at 10:13 p.m.
Yep.
And then he hangs himself. And then now we're dealing with his son Jonas going back to school and dealing with the fact that Jonas's best friend is now dating the girl that Jonas had a crush on and that his dad killed himself. And he went off to a psych ward basically to deal with his dad. Die, murdering him, killing himself, committing suicide is what I mean. But his friends told him that he was off in Paris for a couple months.
Yep.
Only his best friend knew what really was going on. He lied to everyone, said he was in Paris. So whatever, he's dealing with that. Then we get Elric. He's a police officer. He's having an affair. He's married, has a couple kids, 3 kids, and he's having an affair with Jonas's mother.
Yep.
And part of me believes the affair was going on before the guy killed himself.
It definitely feels like it's been a well-established
before her husband committed suicide, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with him, and basically he's one of the officers investigating this disappearance of Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone keeps relating to what happened 30 years ago. This happened 30 years ago, or something, 33 years ago, actually, I think it was.
We keep getting shots of a nuclear plant.
Yes, it's a nuclear plant that's also being deactivated. And it's going to be coming off the grid next year. Because this is taking place like in November 2019 or some shit. Which is funny because this show was released in December 2017. So when the show was put out, this was in the future. And for us, it's in the past.
Right.
Yeah. So, and Ulrich's wife is the high school principal, and they're all dealing with the disappearance of this kid. So Eric's had a stash of drugs near a cave. So a bunch of the kids, including Jonas, his best friend, his girl that he loved, Ulrich's kid, Magnus, and his brother, Mikkel, not Michael, but Mikkel, or yeah. Mikkel, and another girl.
Which is just the German,
Michael. Yeah. And another girl that Magnus likes. I can't think of her name. Anyways, those kids go down, and they're like, why are you bringing your brother along? Because I have to. My parents are at that parents' meeting.
And that kid gets hit in the back of the head a lot. Like, yeah. This was an ongoing thing where his brother must have done it, like, 7 times when he was introduced, and then the other kids all get in on
him. Well, no, the other kid did it, and Magnus goes, hey, only I can do
that. Right, right,
right. So he sticks up for his brother, like, only then, I can be a piece of shit to my brother.
And then cuffs him in the back of the head to mark his territory.
Exactly. But he seems to bring his brother on and not care too much about it. So they head off. They go down to find these drugs. That other girl I spoke about, I can't think of her name, shows up, and she's already found the drugs.
The redhead there.
Yeah, Jonas is...
who, her mother is in the police force as well, I believe.
Yeah, her mother's a detective.
Yes.
As well, who's investigating the disappearance of Eric.
And her father had some weird message for the mother. Like, he called her phone, and he was, like, sobbing. And he's like, I need to talk to you, but it can wait.
Yeah, it was weird. And she's like, yeah, I'm busy right now. Okay, well, I'll tell you later then.
And he's, like, a professor or something.
Yeah, or he works at the nuclear power plant or something.
Yeah.
So basically, something happens when they find these drugs. And I can't remember what the catalyst was. There was like a flash of light. The ground shook. There was a strange man. Kids ran their fucking asses off.
Yep.
And basically, Mikkel disappears.
Yep.
And no one can find him. That's the end of the first episode. Oh, end of the first episode is we find Eric is in this room, 80s decor, old 4:3 TV, aspect ratio TV, playing Video Killed the Radio Star, I believe.
Yeah, it was some 80. Yeah. No, it was You Spin Me Right.
Oh, it was You Spin Me. Okay. And then there was a German song the second time. And we see he's in that room and they strap him to it. And the guy, he gets strapped to a chair or we see a chair.
Looks like an electric chair.
Yeah, we see a chair in the middle of the room. And in the second episode, we're dealing with the disappearance of Mikkel. And now we're getting more information about this is when Ulrich's brother Mads vanished, which happened in 1986. That's when he vanished, and it's happening again. Yeah, and there was this old guy from a nursing home. I think it was that detective's, the woman detective, her father, some sort of relation or whatever, being like, it's happening again. It's not over. They're going to take somebody else. So now Eric is missing. Mikkel's missing. While they're searching for Mikkel, they find a dead body of another teenager who's got a Walkman, and the music in the Walkman is the same German song that Eric was listening to in the room.
Yeah. In the beginning of the first episode, we had this whole like written out thing. It was one of those where they kind of set up the premise, but you don't really know. So it was talking about how most people think that time flows from A to B and that it's always moving, but that what if it actually is all happening at the exact same time? What if it's all, everything is overlapping, everything is parallel, all things happen at the exact same time? So then we start getting into these, you know, this person disappears at the same time, but 30 years later that this one disappeared. And then, you know, this kid disappears and suddenly the body of this kid who's about the same age shows up.
I keep expecting that kid to be Mads.
Mm.
I thought like all workers would be like, that's not my son, but that's my brother.
Right, right.
But the kid's eyes are burned out and he appears to be only dead 16 hours, according to the coroner.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly he's dressed in 80s wear, and no one knows who he is. But I still expect this to be Mads.
His eyes were burned out, but like the whole strip of flesh across there, which coincides with the chair that we saw Eric put into, where they took the metal bars and they put them around where his eyes would be.
Yeah, and we also get them talking about black holes at some point, or like on the TV they're talking about black holes, and so you think that maybe has something to do with it. The power plant seems to have something to do with it. Ulrich finds a hidden door in this cave near where Sun disappeared. He wants to go search the grounds on the power plant, and the guy won't let him.
Yep. Also, they keep talking about a search warrant. I'll get a search warrant.
Get your search warrant. Eric's dad works for the power plant, the missing kid.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Eric were selling drugs, and that's what Eric's dad was all suspicious about. some weird guy shows up at the local. Oh, there's a local hotel that she's gonna lose her business because no one wants to come to a town where a boy's been missing.
Right.
Yeah, that's not why suddenly you have no business. There's right. something else involved there. But some weird guy shows
could
up.
Be that power plant over next door.
Yeah, you know? It could be. There's nothing to do in the fucking town.
Yeah.
Some guy shows up, rents a room. I don't know what his whole deal is. Do you know?
By episode 4, you get a name.
Okay. But episode 2 basically ends with Mikkel waking up in a cave. He walks out. He goes home. His key won't work. Someone opens the door. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm Mikkel. I live here. And he's like, no, you don't. My name's Ulrich. I live here. And it's like, Ulrich? That's his dad's name. Oh, hey, look. There's his mom. Wait, they're teenagers. And Mikkel looks down at the newspaper, and it shows that it's November 5th, 1986.
But this kid is not, like, he's young enough that he wouldn't be able to put that together. Even if it was 1986, he wouldn't. Yeah. So the third episode, and I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just going to tell you the third episode mostly deals with him being back there.
Okay.
The fourth episode, I was disappointed because it was called Parallel Lives. And I'm like, oh, are we going to see, like, but we didn't. We just saw everything that's happening in the present.
Okay.
So, but we got a name for the mysterious person who keeps.
Who I also thought might be Mads.
Mm.
Older. But again.
It's a very intriguing show. Because you keep getting those little nuggets, you know, you keep getting like a little name here or a word there or have you seen the map yet?
I don't know. I remember seeing
the kid like, found the map of the caves and he was looking at it and it said, where's the crossover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I do remember that. Yes.
And that was his dad's who committed suicide.
Yes. He did find that because his dad had like. Because we also saw earlier, and I think it was his dad that had it up, that had like all these different pictures and strings attached to it and everything. And then the guy that shows up at the hotel also has some sort of, you know, string board thing going on. But yes, I remember he did find the map in episode 2, I think.
Yep. Well, I'm not going to go any further for now because I know that you're going to be pressed this week.
Yeah.
But
I'll try to watch those 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah, I'll try to. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But when you're watching a show in another language and you really have to pay attention to it, again, I am pressed for time this week. It is already Tuesday, but I'll try to.
Yeah, but you already told us that you're working from home Thursday and Friday, so.
But I can't watch German shows working from home.
I don't think there's anything in the HR manual against that.
Well, I know, but I would feel guilty. So I'd have to have something I can watch on the background. I don't have to look at the screen the whole time. So that way, if I do have to answer an email, I can.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of background shows, I got to say, dude, I'm continuing my Scrubs rewatch.
Sure.
While I'm walking. Season 2, first off, they've still got that stupid opening that they tried to wedge in there, you know, the one that's much more active and, like, the bodies are...
Oh, yeah, the expanded, yeah.
But this is also the first season where I can blatantly... Because you're like me. You've seen these episodes, like, a million times, right?
Yeah.
This is the first season where I can see that they blatantly had to change the music.
Oh, every time that happens, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The first one that it was very obvious to me was Heather Locklear and Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the whole montage of them doing sexy things. And
it didn't even fit.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this music? This is not. And I can't for the life of me remember what the song was. I want to say it was ZZ Top, but it was. There was something else.
The song that they played. And I remember hearing Bill Lawrence talking about this before and then on the podcast and everything is like the songs that they plug in, like when Bill Lawrence and they made the show, they were very careful about the songs they chose, the very specific, you know, and they chose the songs they chose to fit those scenes and to fit those montages. But then when they went to syndication or they went to the streaming, someone else just plugged the song in.
The worst one so far is the Christmas episode where JD and Elliot hook up because she's homeless. And and that was always one of my favorite scenes. It was, I felt that was the most organic time they ever got together.
Sure.
Like the first one was kind of cool because he just dumped the druggie. And, you know, later on when he like basically steals her from Sean and then doesn't want her, I didn't like that as much, but this one felt the most like, you know, just two people who were like finally giving in. And I always loved the song that played with it.
Yeah.
You know, I love the bass tone, the boom, 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 yeah. boom, boom. So I was waiting for that. And I'm like, yeah, this is the episode. And I'm walking, and this song starts playing, and it's like, We're Sex Fiends or something like that. And I'm just staring at the screen going, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I hated that.
It's like I grew up watching ECW. Mm-hmm. ECW used commercial music without permission on their shows
yeah.
for their wrestlers' entrance music. So, like, when the Sandman would come out on ECW TV back in the late 90s or whatever, he came out to Enter Sandman by Metallica. And his entrance is fucking amazing, you know. And it's like, and through the crowd, and he's cracking open beers and chugging them down and smash them on his head. So that, and then you put watch the hardcore TV on the WWE Network, and they've had to take all the songs out instead of get like a generic guitar riff.
All I can think of is the Family Guy episode where they're like, now back to Top Gun with only public domain music. And you see him like walking, and it's, she'll be coming round the mountain.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God. It's really kind of bothering me in Scrubs. Like, it's ruining my enjoyment of this show.
I believe it. I 1,000% believe it.
Anyway, that was my rant for that.
Twilight Zone.
We
season got four episodes. Okay. Right off the top, I need to say this straight away. Fuck episode four.
Oh, fuck.
I hated it. It was stupid. I couldn't even get into it. I had to force myself through it.
And I actually stopped early because I was like, I don't care. I know how it's going to turn out. And it isn't going to matter because...
It wasn't good. Like, I don't know if it was the acting, if it was the story, if it was everything about it. It just wasn't good.
Well, apparently most people don't, because if you look at the IMDb ratings, the first episode, 7.3, 6.3, 7.3, 5.2.
That's high.
Yeah.
That's high. I didn't vote, obviously.
7.0, 5.5, 5.5, 6.8, 6.5, 4.8.
Ooh.
Last one.
So that's rough.
So apparently there's one worse than what we...
But, okay, the first episode, Meet in the Middle. Wow. When the guy's on a date and he hears the voice talking in his head, and I can't think of the Jimmy Simpson, and he's got Gillian Jacobs talking in his head, and they have this kind of relationship or whatever.
Can I just say, this was a Twilight Zone episode.
This was 1,000% a Twilight Zone.
This was Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and then he finally, like, they're going to meet. They're going to get on this train. They're 4 hours apart. They're going to, like, meet in the middle.
There was a buildup on this. Like, these two fell in love.
Yes. And he shows up, and she's not there. And he finds her glasses on the ground that he saw in a picture of her, like, on Facebook or whatever they called their social media up there. And he's like, where are you? And she's like, this man grabbed me and kidnapped me, and now he's in full panic mode. And he somehow tracks her down to this house and knocks on the door, and he's like, are you in there? She's like, yes, I am. He had a beard, okay, and a, like, green flannel shirt. And he attacks this guy, and he beats him to death. Mm-hmm. He beats him to death. And then this little girl walks around the corner. What did you do to my daddy? And then in his mind, he's like, oh, my God, was I hearing things? And he starts freaking out that he was actually hearing things. And then there's Gillian Jacobs, which if you know who she is, you recognize her. And then she starts screaming, and what are you doing? And I don't know you. And then the police show up, and they arrest him, and they haul him away. And he's in the back of the cruiser, and he's like, oh, my God, maybe I am crazy. I can't believe I did this. And then she says, basically, like, hey, thanks. Like, she basically used him to murder her husband.
This is the only way I could get away from him and start a new life for me and my daughter.
So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Like, fuck you, bitch. You just ruined this guy's life.
Long con.
Oh, yes.
Where basically she had a psychic connection with him somehow.
Somehow. Wow. It was excellent.
It was phenomenal.
It was absolutely excellent. I really enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. I watched that one because that was the first one. And I'm like, yes, I've got a lot to look forward to. Then I watched Downtime and I went, Marina Baccarin, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, this episode isn't that good.
I thought it was decent. I thought the concept was interesting. Mm-hmm. She's an avatar in this world whose host dies. Or has a heart attack or whatever, stroke.
Their downtime upgrade.
No, prior to it.
Well, he dies, and then, like, as they're getting ready to do their upgrade.
Right. But because he died while playing, she never logged out.
Right.
And because he never logged out, he doesn't know. She doesn't know that she's in a game world. And then we meet like her husband, who's a different gamer. And we meet all these other people who like have to log out for this upgrade, and then they're going to log back in, but she can't log out.
Right.
And then essentially, like, I don't know, I thought it was just a really fascinating story. I thought it was interesting.
Because she doesn't realize that she's just an avatar. She believes that she is a real person who got this promotion, who has worked hard. And they're like, no, you're a creepy old man who wanted to be a woman. Yep. And
basically even her, like his wife comes in and she's just like, if you don't log out, he may never wake up, but he may never wake up if you do log out too as well. And so she's like, I don't know if I can take that chance. And so at first she says she will, but then she can't do it because what if he doesn't wake up?
Right.
And you see these kids on skateboarders show up and they're customer support and they're trying to get her to log out and they're going to force her. But then like the supervisor shows up and he's like, we're not going to force her. And basically goes like, hey, look, here's the deal. You can stay here as long as you want. He's had a stroke. He's in a coma. He's brain dead. He's never going to wake up. If you log out, you're done.
Right.
So you can stay here as long as you want. We'll set you up. You can have your job. You'll have plenty of money in this world. But the catch is you have to play the game. You can't act like you know. You can't like act like you know that this is a fake world. You have to play the game. Mm-hmm. I just found it was interesting.
Yeah. It was a slow build for me.
It was a slow build. Then episode 3, The Who of You.
Yeah.
A struggling actor goes to rob a bank and somehow he transports his consciousness into another body.
This also really felt Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, and that consciousness that he transported into goes into his own body.
Yes. And I really liked how they handled that too, because it's always his body. So it's not like, you know, now he transfers to person C and they go into person B who then no. They always, like, the original goes back to their body, and this new one goes to his body as, like, a holding cell.
Yeah. It was almost like a quantum leap type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
It was.
And essentially, he's a struggling actor. He goes and robs his bank to prepare for a bank robbery role.
Mm-hmm.
Goes through all these different lives. The police officer, the detective investigating it all, he, you know, he's trying to... who's investigating it is starting to believe this guy that's with him that he's not, I'm Tom. I'm not this guy. You know what I mean? And somehow like through a psychic, I mean, they just did a great job playing this story out to where it's down to a little boy and the detective and the original bank robber.
Ethan Embry.
Yeah. And essentially he's like, I'll just kill this kid. And I'll stay in this body forever.
Yep.
No big deal to me. And the detective, he ends up switching places with the detective. So now he's in the detective's body and the little boy is in his own body and Ethan Embry's character is in the detective's body type of thing.
And the detective is in Ethan Embry's body.
Yes, that's what it was. And then the other police show up and because that's our buddy law officer, they shoot Ethan Embry's character and kill him.
He's got the gun.
Yeah, who's actually the detective. So now he's trapped in the detective's body, but he's like, great. I'm a police officer now. I'm a handsome black man. This is great. So he goes to tell his wife that her husband's dead. And when she opens the door, she's like, oh, hey, I didn't know you were coming over today. And essentially we find out that she's been having an affair with him.
That's who was blowing up his phone the whole time. The detective kept getting these calls and he was like, I can't. It's not a good time.
Yeah.
It's not a good time. And yeah, so the whole time. So it was like a Twilight Zone episode. And then there's the dick twist at the end.
Yeah.
Was, you know, oh yeah, the whole time I was sleeping with your wife. So now you've got Ethan Embry inside the cop's body, inside the body of the guy who was cheating with his wife.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, technically I'm with my wife.
So he can keep this relationship going because he loves her still.
Yes.
Yeah. And he becomes an actor again.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a wonderful actor and he gets these roles. And so I don't know. I thought it was good.
Because he can get inside the head of people.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I did as well.
Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about episode 4.
Ovation.
It's just fucking garbage.
Fuck Ovation.
Hot garbage.
Yep.
Hot fucking garbage.
Yep.
Talk about Hannibal.
I was just going to say Hannibal. Let's do episodes 8 and 9. Let me, hold on. I got to bring up my notes here because I didn't have those ones. What are you doing?
I'm responding to a text.
Okay. You were quiet over there for a second.
All right.
Let me bring it up here. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, because these start to blend together. The first episode that we watched was the one with the violinist.
Yes. Well, okay, it's kind of a part two almost.
Yeah. Well, kind of, because...
Did I watch it in two parts? No, we're introduced to him at the opera, and then now, yes. Okay, yes. So it's not a part two, but we were previously introduced to his character.
Yeah. We had been introduced to his character because Hannibal's new best buddy, therapy patient, was like, oh, yeah, this is my... Was it his boyfriend or something? He basically just wanted him to be really... wanted him to love him and like him and blah, 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 blah.
And he thinks he's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And I think Hamlin says, well, maybe you're just attracted to psychopaths.
Well, so basically somebody gets killed by having a cello head jammed down through their throat. Their voice box is cut open. Their throat and their voice box is exposed so that the person can play them.
The vocal cords.
Yeah, the vocal cords.
Yeah,
on the stretched out.
And the vocal cords are even treated with something to tension them up. Yeah.
And it turns out that this guy is a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tobias.
Yeah, Tobias. And he has some really good back and forth with Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really talk about things. Like, I love when he's like, I was going to kill you. Well, I was going to kill you. So the real star of this episode for me was watching the two psychopaths basically, two evil geniuses lay out their plans in front of each other. And Tobias was going to leave. He was like, no, I'm just going to leave town. I'm going to get out of here. And Hannibal's like, nah, I don't think I can let you.
Yeah.
And Tobias comes into Hannibal's office while Max or whatever is.
Oh, let's not forget that. Well, you skipped the part where. Are you talking about when he shows up when his boyfriend's there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prior to that, though, Hannibal told Graham, hey, this is who I think your killer is.
Yeah.
And so Graham and two police officers go down to arrest him, and Tobias kills the cops and tries to kill Graham.
How did he get the drop on those two cops? Like, it wasn't like they were both laying there on the floor. They were out back.
Yeah. Well, one was dead on the floor. The other one was out back with his face, like...
It was like they had... the cello wire or the violin wire or whatever, like he was kind of strung up on it and his throat was severed and his face was severed. And like he really got the drop on these two.
Yeah. Graham officers. Had gone outside to make a phone call or to do something. He was stressed about something. And then we went back inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you were saying Tobias shows up at Lecter's.
Yeah. So Tobias, he's already had a back and forth with Hannibal and basically said that he was going to leave. So he shows up while his boyfriend is there in therapy. And, his boyfriend was like, I think he's a psychopath. And, he's like, who do you think? And he just walks over and snaps his boyfriend's neck. And that's when we have the whole, I need to kill you. Well, I need to kill you. And they duke it out and they have a pretty good fight.
Oh, it's a long fight.
It's a long fight, but it's not like kung fu fight.
No, Lecter's got some skills, but Tobias is just tough as well. Mm-hmm. It was a long fight.
And it was beautifully choreographed.
Yeah,
I really
enjoyed
it. And of course, Hannibal kills him.
Yep.
And then gets Will and company down there and lays out the whole story, says, yeah, he came in. No, that's right. Hannibal killed the boyfriend.
Yeah, Hannibal broke Franklin's neck, and Tobias was like, I wanted to do that. And Hannibal's like, I guess I saved you the trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Which basically he was like, fuck you. I got to do it. I took that from you.
Basically, yeah.
So, yeah, he says Tobias killed him, and then he came after me, and I had to defend myself. And so they still believe that Hannibal's just,
And earlier in this episode, while Hannibal was talking to his therapist, Gillian Anderson's character, he was questioning, like, what's it like to be a friend? He's never really had a friend. He doesn't know what to be a friend. And he's just like, well, sounds like Graham's your friend. And then when Hannibal's talking to me later on, he's like, actually, I think you're right. I think Graham really is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the next episode, a totem pole of
true
bodies.
Gone.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, old bodies.
This is a very artistic show.
Fuck. Like, I'll be honest, the killings and the murders on this show
are half the draw.
Well, no, but okay, it's there's too many that are way over the top for them all to be happening apparently in a short drive right. from where these people are.
Right. Yeah.
At least like in X-Files and Criminal Minds, this shit was happening across the country.
Fair enough.
And they had to go to these different places where all these killings were happening. All this shit's happening in like a short drive from where Graham and Hannibal live.
Yep. Yep.
You know, like that's my only issue so far with this show. It's like all these dramatic killings and serial killers and very artistically methodical killers all live in a 10-mile radius or 20-mile radius, apparently.
Remind me not to get any real estate there.
But you know what I mean? Well, like, yeah. So that's my only issue with the show so far.
Right.
I'm enjoying the storylines, but I think it would be more believably realistic if, like, they had to fly from Washington, D.C. to Washington State for a murder, or to right. New Mexico, or to Maine, or to Florida. Not everyone's just in this one fucking, you know, tri-city area.
Fair enough.
So, anyways, go ahead.
So, basically, like you said, they find this totem pole that's, I guess, 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
Bodies and body parts in all different manner of pose and repose. And then the one on the very top is the most fresh one. And basically, they surmise that this person has been killing people for years and burying the bodies out here because they can see that most of the graves were out here. About half of the bodies came from the graves that were out here on this beach.
Yeah.
And the other half were from another area probably. But this person obviously killed this person, the guy on the top of the totem pole, last because this was a demonstration for them.
Yep.
You know? And folded them right over in half and, you know, put their legs up above their head.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
It was very gruesome. But this is also where Will starts breaking because, you know, he does his little thing where he, you know, goes through the mind of the killer, as you were, and he sees it all play out. And then suddenly he finds himself in Lecter's office. And it's been like 3.5 hours. So he dissociated completely.
Correct, yeah.
So they have to start looking at that. And it happens a couple other times in the episode where he just loses time.
Yep.
And it was really cool because for those of us in the audience, we watched him lose the time.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't like we saw the rest of the episode going and then he's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, we're right there with him. And then suddenly we're in Lecter's office with him.
He has no idea how he got there.
Yep.
And he's freaked out by it, as he should be.
Yep. So they
on the totem pole, the freshest body is a guy named Joel Summers, who is the son of Fletcher Marshall. Who was the oldest body on the totem pole. And that's important later on.
Yes. Yes. So basically Lecter's working with Graham and he says, you know, I think your brain is trying to protect you from all the horrible shit that you're seeing. So it's just shutting down. Well, it's going to make it kind of hard to do his job. So he's dealing with all that stuff. And then you've got, we're back to Abigail Hobbs. She's back around and yep. Bloom is trying to work with her. Trying to keep her sane, I guess. But they found the body of the kid that she murdered.
And Nicholas Boyle, yep.
Yeah, and he's half frozen and, you know, partly decomposed. There's some chunks taken out of his flesh. And they perform an autopsy and they're like, this dude was murdered. And he was murdered this way and blah, blah, blah. And so Jack thinks she did it. He thinks Abigail did it. And he's right. I mean, we know that he's right.
Yeah.
But basically, Shaw there is like, I don't want you questioning her. You're being too mean, blah, blah, blah. She knows that she killed him. But she still tries to play innocent. You know, she says, oh, yeah, this is the guy. And he came at me. Well, how did he get killed like this? How did he get that? I don't know. I don't know. By the end of the episode, Lecter actually comes clean with Will.
Which surprised me.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I killed him. And I helped her dispose of the body.
Well, no, she killed him. And
she killed him in self-defense.
And I helped her dispose of the body because
Because he was coming at her. And think about everything with her father. She would have been looked at as a murder suspect. I decided to help her dispose of the body because I didn't want her to have to go down like that. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Will has the choice of, does he go to Jack and say, you know, I know what really happened? Or does he just say, fuck it?
And he kind of says, fuck it.
Yeah.
He basically agrees to help keep her secret.
Yeah.
Because Lecter also convinced her that, you know, if we can help her, she won't become her father.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she confides in Lecter that basically Crawford's right. I helped my father. I lured these girls in. I befriended them. We
because
see that.
She knew that if she didn't, she would be the one being killed.
Yeah, exactly. So she befriended these girls and did what her father wanted.
We got to see that really creepy black and white flashback at the end on the train.
Yeah.
Of them doing that, you know, dad, like, looking at this one pretty girl and, like, nodding towards her.
Yeah. She goes down and, like, hey, how's it going? Yeah.
Oh, I hate traveling alone. The girl's like, oh, I love it. I'm heading home.
Yeah. We meet Lawrence Welles, Lance Henriksen, who looks so old in this. This is one of my favorite killers ever on the show because he's fucked up. And this is the, I love, like, it's almost like they went, you know what? We got this cool totem pole. We got Abigail's backstory. We just got to wrap up this one killer real quick. Okay, so what are we going to do? Okay, here's what's going to happen. He's having an affair with Fletcher Marshall's wife, the oldest victim, right? And in a crime of, like, I don't know, passion, he kills Joel because, well, no, he kills Fletcher in a crime of passion.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then he just kills the rest of the people for fun.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was going to get caught at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he killed Joel because he wanted to get caught so he could go to jail because he was getting old and he couldn't afford to retire. But if he's in prison and he tells him where all the other bodies are buried and who everyone is, he won't get the death penalty. And he can just retire in prison and live the rest of his life there. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And like, what? You know? Is that really what they did? And oh, no. Let's do this. Let's give him a big fuck you. Joel was your son. Dun, dun, dun.
Which is basically like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
I guess I screwed that up.
Yeah, that was his reaction. Son of a...
Yeah.
Cut, you know? I just...
It was a really cool way
to... That was a real thing.
Yep. Yes, I did. I feel telling me that I didn't log my dinner. Of course I logged my dinner. Oh, shit.
Did you forget to log your dinner?
No, I logged it under snacks instead of dinner.
Oh, you fucked up big time.
I know.
Ha ha ha.
I know. That's okay. I can just move it to dinner. So I still love this show. You're right. Some of the killing stuff is very over the top, very gross, kind of ridiculous.
Yep.
But I'm... It's still my kind of thing. I still fucking love it.
Oh, no, I do, too. I'm going to keep watching it. I think we should keep up our two episodes.
Yep. Which right now, we're going to have to look at that in the future. But, like, right now, so it'll be 10 and 11 and then 12 and 13, which finishes out the first season just fine.
Up to 10 already?
Yeah. That was 8 and 9 that we just watched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that works out then well.
But then when we start the next season, it's another 13 episodes. So the only reason it worked out this time was because we did three, then two, 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 two.
So we'll probably have to do a three at some point.
Yeah. Okay. Either on the front end or the back end, I would say.
Let's talk about Warrior Nun.
Yes.
I watched the first episode.
Yep.
How many did you watch?
I watched just the first episode because that's all you had watched.
I don't know. I want to watch episode two.
Yeah, you had kind of alluded to that. I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about it.
I've heard some good stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I've also heard people's Leah, who we met at Rhode Island Comic Con, was basically like, I just binged Warrior Nun. What the fuck did I just watch?
And was that a bad what the fuck did I watch?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It was like, it was confusing. It was I don't really understand what I just watched. Hmm. I've heard more negative than positive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I've heard more positive than negative, but... Then again, like, I just played through The Last of Us Part 2, and there was a ton of positive about that, and I hated a lot of it.
Really?
So
I've heard a lot of positive. I don't even play video games. I've seen so many people like, oh, I love this game. It's so great. It's so great. I love it, love it, love it. So that's surprising.
Yeah. Every now and then it happens, but I'm thinking the same way about this. So the basic premise of this is who the fuck knows? Because honestly, we're not given a lot. Like, this would have benefited from like a title crawl, I think, or like a narrator voice in the beginning that basically said, from time immemorial, there have been these warriors that had a magical halo pressed into their back.
Yeah.
That sears through their flesh.
It's an angel's halo.
Yeah.
Not well, even magic. It's an that's angel's what they call halo.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, is it actually an angel's halo or is it, who knows? Nobody can touch it.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta, like, because that guy tries to pick it up and his fingers slice right through. And, you know, they hold it with the tongs. But basically, we start off with the leader of these warrior nuns is gravely injured. She's got blue specks all over her, like she got shot by glowing paintballs.
Yeah.
And they pull her halo out and they're going to put it in her next in command, except then the place gets attacked. And they're getting overrun, so the sister who took it out of her runs to the morgue to stick it in a recently deceased girl who, basically, it sounds like she was a piece of shit.
Well,
the nun that brought her to the morgue
nun makes it seem like she was a piece of shit.
Yep,
but But then you find out the nun was probably the piece of shit.
Yes.
Or is the piece of shit, really.
Yes.
Yeah, and that she basically shits on this girl because she got dumped there as a child and she was a quadriplegic.
She got dumped there because her and her mom, she doesn't know her dad, her and her mom were in a car accident. Mom died, but mom was Catholic.
Yeah.
So this girl who got crippled in the car accident was sent to the orphanage. And so this woman hates her.
How big of a piece of shit can she be if she can't move her arms and legs and do anything? She's like she can cause trouble other than just exist.
Yeah.
So her existence was a bane on this nun's existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you read the premise right here on Wikipedia, warrior nun revolves around a 19-year-old woman who wakes up in a morgue with a new lease on life and a divine artifact embedded in her back. She discovers she is now part of an ancient order that has been tasked with fighting demons on Earth and powerful forces representing both heaven and hell want to find and control her.
Well, by the end of the episode, no, she had not.
She also didn't wake up. She was fucking dead.
Yeah.
She was risen from the dead. Like there's a big difference between that and wakes up.
Like they were preparing to cremate her or whatever. Her body was cold on the slab when we first met.
So basically she's brought back to life and can now walk and talk. And now she's not paraplegic anymore because the halo heals her. Mm-hmm. And so she runs away. Mm-hmm. And says, fuck, I'm a teenager who's never done anything. I'm going to go get drunk and fuck people.
Right. She had no ties to the orphanage other than being stuck there. She has no family.
She did go back to the orphanage just to talk to the kid who was her roommate to be like, hey, I'm alive. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, look,
somehow I'm walking, so believe in yourself.
And he's like, you need to get the fuck out of here because they're going to do, you know what I mean? So she runs into these other kids who are squatters at this fancy place.
I like how one of her first things was she wants to jump into the pool.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm going to jump in because I've never been able to swim. And then like halfway through the screen freezes and she goes, oh, shit, I never learned to swim.
She gets hit by a car and knocked through a building and gets fucked up. But we see her healing from this halo.
And she phased into the building, like hit the wall and like
phased through the building, but then smashed against the wall inside.
Yep.
So my problem with this is later on she does drugs at this party. The drugs shouldn't affect her. Her body should heal and prevent the drugs from affecting her.
You would think so, yeah. Like Barry with his alcohol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had an issue with that.
Yep.
I thought we were going to get the story of someone who's already fighting and battling, not someone who has to learn. So that kind of annoys me because it's like, now we got to go through that process, which it's not like the movie Kickboxer where you get a montage of training. Like, right. This is going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's young. And you know that the people that have to train her probably hate her fucking guts because she has this halo in her back.
That belonged to their friend.
Right. Yeah. So.
And she's probably not a believer.
Right. So I have a lot of issues. And the way she was treated like such shit by the nun her whole life, you know she doesn't like the church.
Right.
And now she's got to work for the church.
And I think that they, like, in order to enjoy it, I probably would have had to have seen the second episode. Because really, the first episode leaves us so empty. Like the warrior nuns as they exist, we got to see them for like 5 minutes collectively. And they just basically don't even tell us about their order. They don't tell us about what they do. We just get to see that they're having problems and issues. And a little flashback of when their leader was alive. And this girl, again, like you said, you know, she's got a new lease on life. So she's like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to dance and I'm going to party because I've never been able to do any of this stuff. We didn't get anything. Like she saw the red smoke, which was basically a demon. And she ran away from it. Because she first followed it, but then when she saw it, like, in corporeal form as a demon, she was like, fuck this, I'm out of here, which a sane person would do. Because she doesn't know that the thing in her back makes her so that she can fight them. But, yeah, so I feel like this was almost like a prologue rather than a first chapter.
Yeah, probably.
And so I'm going to watch the second episode definitely and see if we get to the crux of this. Because if it's going to be like 3 or 4 episodes before she even meets up with the other warrior nuns.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'd have a problem with it as well.
I'll give the second episode a watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of faith.
Oh, kind of fitting for a show like this.
Did you watch any other TV shows?
Yeah.
What?
Watch the first episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, I did too. We watched 2. Can't wait to watch the second one as well.
I really don't think that they need to be delved into. This is not the type of show that needs a review.
No.
But I will say this. I miss the old Unsolved Mysteries.
I do too. One of the big things I miss the most is that this was an hour long of one story. As opposed,
with no host.
With no host. Except the ghostly Robert Stack image you see at the end of the opening credits, which is creepy cool.
Yeah. I went to visit a buddy of mine the other day. He goes, have you watched this yet? And I said, no. He goes, I think I saw Robert Stack. And I go, shut up. And he's like, no, I think I did. And he's like, let me show you. And we played it. And I'm like, yeah, he's right there. And he's like, yeah, okay. I thought I was crazy.
This is more of almost like a Dateline.
Yeah.
This is almost more like
Dateline NBC. But again, no host. No voiceover.
Right. It's just the documentary of this unsolved murders is what we have.
Guy falling through a roof.
Now, I'll say this. I liked it. Mm. It was interesting. Mm. But it wasn't Unsolved Mysteries to me. It was just a cool true crime documentary with the mystery.
Could have been a podcast, honestly.
It could. But the thing I liked about Unsolved Mysteries was Robert Stack as a host, but each episode was multiple stories.
Uh-huh. And every now and then you'd get that
update.
Yes! Yeah. So cool. Because either they solved it or it was like, we've now had a sighting.
Yes.
This person was last seen in Indiana traveling alongside the road. You're like, oh my God, it's so cool.
So, yeah, I do miss the original Unsolved Mysteries format. I hope they take feedback and go, okay, we got to make it more like that. Even if you don't have a host, just give us – I think that's one of the most intriguing things was the short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Not 52 minutes of one story.
Yeah. It was definitely too long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Like, they just kept repeating the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. Guy was a perfectly normal dude, fell through a roof. The end.
Well,
I know
they had to go. Actually, I do appreciate the lengths they went into with basically describing like, well, he couldn't have done this. He couldn't have done this. He couldn't have done this. How the fuck did this happen?
Right.
That would need to be in there. But yeah, they could have
shortened that. They didn't need to interview everybody.
They could have shortened that to 20 minutes.
He was such a great guy. He was he was never sad. He was never upset. Okay.
They could have shortened that to 20 minutes.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, but I would prefer to see multiple stories in an hour long episode instead of just one.
Yes.
Any other shows for you?
The first episode of the second season of The Politician. I still really enjoy the show, but I'm not even going to get into it.
I watched the first episode of the new Netflix series, Zhuang Origins.
Oh, yeah. Basically The Ring. Or The Grudge.
The Grudge. The Grudge. Yeah, yeah. This is The Grudge. It's Japanese in Japanese. There's only 6 episodes. They're about a half an hour.
Okay.
You got to watch it in Japanese, of course. Those are really good.
Really?
Yeah. Takes place in 1988, which I appreciate. And essentially, you have this paranormal investigator who's on a talk show. He's talking to an actress who is telling her story of supernatural relations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her boyfriend who was scouting a potential house to move into. So when they got married, this is where they would live. And he had a supernatural experience in the house of a white ghost carrying a baby. And it follows him from where he lives to wherever he's going.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of tortures him. At the same time, we have another girl who is being transferred to a new high school. Her mom is an abusive piece of shit.
Okay.
Verbally and mentally. And basically, like, her new friends are like, oh, you should come hang out with us. We're going to go check out this house. Excuse me. We're going to check out this house. And it's the same house that was visited by this boyfriend. who saw the ghost lady with the baby. Mm-hmm. And another student, so it's these two girls, they're going to go to this house because, what was their reasoning?
They wanted to get high?
Nah, they lied. There was some reason they were going to go there. And they kind of lied about what it was. And then this other boy joins them. And this is where it's a little fucked up. So the other people are talking like, oh, so where do you want to do it? Well, how about we do it right here? Oh, don't we want to do it in the bedrooms upstairs? There's no bed in this place. Oh, okay. And so the two girls grab her and thump her on the ground, basically, so this guy can rape her.
Wow.
Yeah. We don't see it. It's implied. I haven't watched episode 2 yet, but it was good. Like, other than that ending, obviously.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Other than that
Please
ending.
Qualify well,
but that was like a twist at the end where it was like, oh, shit, these are piece of shit kids.
Right.
But the story was good. The ghost story part of it was good. It wasn't that long. Like, again, like I said, like a half an hour. Some good, you know, suspense in it. So I'm going to definitely watch the second episode. I'll probably watch all 6. But it'll be a slow burn for me because, again, it's in Japanese.
Okay.
I got some movies, news, and trailers.
Yeah, that's all I've got. And I honestly don't have any trailers this week.
Okay, I don't have any trailers either. I just got news. You all right?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Figured you will. I did watch a classic this week. I watched 16 Candles. Kate had gone to her cousin's house to work out. I really wanted, it was Sunday afternoon. I kind of wanted to watch a movie. I really wanted to watch Summer Rental or The Great Outdoors, mm-hmm. but I didn't have those available, and they weren't streaming free anywhere. So I was like, well, I'll throw a DVD in. And what can I watch with Wesley that's not going to be bad? I'll put 16 Candles in. It's PG.
Remember, they had different ideas of PG back then.
Well, I've never seen it other than the TV version on TV my okay. whole life. I've really never watched, like, the DVD. So much like the first, you know. actually, there's only one scene I would say was inappropriate.
Yeah.
And he wasn't paying attention anyways, but one of the, what you see a naked girl. Mm-hmm. Like a close up of her boobs,
yep.
and then a far away shot while she's showering, and the other girls go, "Look how perfect she is. I mean, look at her tits. I know." And then you see her naked ass. You don't see bush or anything, but you see a lot of naked girl for a PG movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What? What the? What is this rating?" Because I'm like, "I need to shut it off."
Right.
But no, the rest of it was fine. It's a great movie. I mean, I remembered it except for that part because again, I watched the TV version.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. You only watched 2 movies?
I watched 3.
Okay. I'll tell you about another movie I watched then.
Here you go.
Yeah. I watched Shaft. The original 1971 Richard Roundtree Shaft.
Okay.
I've never actually seen the movie.
So not the new one with Richard Roundtree?
No, no.
As the grandfather.
Right. No, the original 1971 one with great soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've never actually seen the movie. I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen parts. I know all about the Shaft. He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth. And I'm talking about Shaft. I can dig it. He's a complicated man. Anyways, I enjoyed it. It's a great blaxploitation flick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to check out a few other ones now. I've heard that the other 2 Shaft movies are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
This was really the best one. The other 2 couldn't capture the magic of this one. Fun story, Italian mob kidnaps a black gangster's daughter, and Shaft, who's a private eye, gets hired to go find her. And at the same time, the police lieutenant's kind of working with, quote finger, Shaft, because it's like, the best way for this to work out is if I let Shaft do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Seeing 1970s New York.
It's a great flick.
Yeah, it was a great flick. So I'm glad I finally sat down and watched it. We watched My Spy.
Yes, as did I.
Right. So what did you think?
I really dig this movie.
Wasn't it great?
You know,
Kate even said, I would watch that again.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
You know the beats are coming.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to get technical, it's Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it.
Essentially.
There are some big beats there where, even to the point where the villain shows up in other parts of the country or
yeah.
other parts of the world. Periodically just to remind you that there's a villain coming.
Exactly.
Much like Kindergarten Cop. Yeah. But yeah, it was just, I dig it. Like you had said earlier, you know, I I never watched as much wrestling as you. Nowhere near.
Correct.
But
you've watched some because of me. Or
I enjoyed Batista as a wrestler.
Sure.
Because my limited knowledge of wrestling, you know, when I would see him, I'm like, yeah, he's pretty damn good. He's a big guy.
Yep.
But as an actor, fucking love it.
Here's my thing. When he got into acting, when he left wrestling and got into acting, he took it serious.
Mm-hmm.
He took it serious. He took acting classes. He took acting lessons. He honed his craft. And then he must have absorbed everything he could absorb from everyone that he worked with. Because once he got into acting and he was doing, you know, like he did the other parts, not just Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers, mm-hmm. but like what was it, Hotel Artemis?
Yep.
When he did that. I've seen him in some stinker movies too, don't get me wrong. But his character in there and his character in other movies, I've seen him take what he's learned in the acting world and bring it back to the wrestling ring for his last couple runs.
Mm-hmm.
And it made those last two runs better.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So I did enjoy his end product stuff, but his early product, I still don't care for.
Like, probably in the beginning, I'm thinking, based on what you're saying, yeah. is that they hired him for his size and his musculature.
And his name, because he was a popular guy who had a name brand recognition from being a wrestler.
But he didn't have the acting chops, yeah. which, wrestling nowadays, you've got to be an actor. You got to sell it. You got to. Yeah.
Because realistically, The Rock, his name is Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Batista's name is Batista.
It's Dave Batista, but
well, his name is spelt differently. It's spelled B-A-U-S-T, but it's still Batista.
Mm-hmm.
So when he went from the ring of being Batista in the ring to Batista the actor, mm-hmm. his name didn't change. So he kept that name recognition as well. Whereas The Rock is now, for the longest time, it was always Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, like, hey, that's Dwayne The Rock Johnson in yep. this movie, and now it's Dwayne Johnson. He built his name.
Yep.
But yeah, no, My Spy is great.
It was. It really was.
I still think everyone needs to watch it. It's only been on Amazon for a couple weeks, so I don't want to ruin it. But I love the opening scene. We're going to ruin this. The opening scene where he's with the bad guys and, like, you know, the CIA agents are watching from afar. And they're like, you know, like, what are you, some kind of undercover cop or something like that? Or undercover agent? And they suspect him. And he goes, all right, guys, you got me. And like,
he drops the accent and everything.
Yeah, and the people were like, what's he doing? Yeah, you figured me out. You know, I'm not a great actor.
Yeah.
I'm not good with accents. What I'm really good at, though, is kicking ass. And then they all laugh, and then he fucking kills everybody.
Yep.
I loved yep. it. I love you when the guy got his head lopped off, and it just floats across the screen. And it's like, how is this, like, okay for kids to watch? Because the way they did it.
Right. Exactly.
I enjoyed the flick. If this was a DVD release, I probably would buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To watch another time. Because, you know, Hulk Hogan's best movie he ever did was Suburban Commando, and I still enjoy watching that from time to time.
Not Mr. Nanny?
No. I own that one as well. But Suburban Commando was definitely the best flick he ever did, and I still enjoy watching that from time to time. So,
Chris Hemsworth has been on social media this week talking about how much he's got to get pumped up, like more than Thor.
Yes, he's got to build up more than Thor to play Hogan in the upcoming movie. So I'm excited to see what he does. So we both watched A Hole in the Ground. Mm-hmm. What was the other movie you watched?
Desperados. It's new to Netflix. It's a rom-com kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
With that name, it's a rom-com?
Yeah.
Okay. How was that?
Avoid it. I sat through the whole thing because I like most of the actors in it. I mean, Anna Camp's in there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen this now that I'm looking. Heather Graham.
Yeah.
Robbie Amell, Sarah yeah. Burns. Yeah, it has a great cast.
Yeah, it's got a great cast. The guy who played Winston on New Girl. But here's the thing. It had some good messages. Like, the yep. movie itself did the whole over-the-top kind of thing. Like, basically, this is the premise of it, okay? She is kind of a, I will speak whatever's on my mind kind of thing. Like, we see her in the beginning. She's doing a job interview at a Catholic church, a Catholic school to be a guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. And the woman's like, you know, what would you do if a girl said that she had a boyfriend who was mean to her? And she's like, oh, I tell her you don't need a man to please yourself. You can please yourself. And she's like, oh, internally. She goes, no, masturbation. You know, which is funny, but She's basically a very rough around the edges kind of person. Doesn't have a lot of luck in life. Her two friends kind of keep her grounded, but she just, she's too commonly speaks her mind a little too much.
Yeah.
So she ends up on a blind date with Winston from New Girl, and she tells him beforehand, she's like, you know what blind dates need? They need, it's basically Barney's lemon law. You know, she says they should have like an automatic no thank you. So that if you go on a blind date and there's no chemistry right in the beginning, you could just say, nope, I'm all done, and walk away. And he does that to her because she sits down and she's basically talking about weddings and kids, and they're not like, we should get married, we should have kids, but she's already talking about these things. And he's like, I'm all set. No, I'm all set. We're not, you're obviously in a different area than I am. So then she walks outside and she falls down. She conks her head and Robbie and Mel picks her up. So she decides to do the opposite and like hide all of her crazy and like pretend that she's a normal person. So he falls for her.
Mm-hmm.
They have the sex and then he doesn't call her for 5 days.
Oh, and she, okay, I saw the trailer. I think she leaves like a, sends him an email that's like, you're a piece of shit. And her friends all help out.
Yep. You've got a tiny dick.
Yeah.
Daddy didn't love you. Because he confided in her that his dad didn't love him. So she's like, and then come to find out he was on a business trip to Mexico.
Yeah, this looked good.
And got in a car accident. And he doesn't have any of his stuff there. They won't let him have it, but he's laid up in the hospital. So they go down to Mexico to, you know, retrieve it. So there's some comedy aspects to it. But honestly, like, the messages are really good because it's not just the traditional, like, oh, maybe there's true love right under your nose. It's more about, like, finding yourself, figuring out who you are, and not being a piece of shit to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for the creepy, like, over-the-top comedy kind of stuff, like, basically there's this whole pedophile thing running through it because she starts off at the resort by her purse falls down on the ground and her vibrator comes out and this kid starts playing with it. And so then, like, the kid falls in love with her and she keeps having these mishaps where she ends up, like, naked in front of him and stuff. So the mother wants to kill her, says she's a pedophile. Mm-hmm. That stuff I could do without. But honestly, I would say if you want a good rom-com, check this out for the messages. It's rather endearing in that respect. So, yeah, not a hard sell, but it's not bad. I know I originally started off by saying skip it, but, you know, it does have some really good messages, and I really appreciated the messages in the end.
So. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Did you watch anything else other than Hole in the Ground?
I did. My wife and I watched Hamilton.
I almost did. Is it phenomenal?
I absolutely loved it.
You know what I'm going to do now then?
What?
I'm going to send you the thing that I got this weekend, which is Weird Al Does Hamilton. And it's a mashup. It's one of his polkas, but with all Hamilton songs.
I cannot wait.
I'm going to do it right after this.
Good. I'm not going to go into deep dive because I know you're not a huge musical fan.
Oh, I am a huge musical
fan. I know.
Thank you.
But you need to watch this. It's one of the rare musicals where there's literally almost no spoken words.
Nice.
It's legit, like, all singing. And it's hip-hoppy. It's rap. There's a rap battle in it at one point. It's fucking Lin-Manuel, whatever his last name is. Miranda, thank you. Fucking genius.
I loved him on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I loved him. Well, he's great in the new Mary Poppins movie, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he plays like this our version of Bert.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice character, yeah. He's the guy that goes around and lights the triple little light fantastic and writes all the lights at night.
The lamplighter.
Yeah, lamplighter. There we go. Thank you. This is absolutely just phenomenal. I absolutely love it. We watched it in two parts. We watched the first half one night in that intermission. We watched the second half.
Oh, so there's an intermission?
1 minute intermission.
That's still cool.
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. Well, it's like 10 minutes of credit. So it's 2.5 hours long, basically. It's really good. I mean, it's about the life of Alexander Hamilton. It's really good. It's really entertaining. The cast is great. It was what they did was I'll give you
Picard's in there, right?
Yeah. I'll give you some technical about it, whatever. There are three. It was filmed in 2016 during the live Broadway production of it over three nights.
Okay.
So they filmed three continuous nights.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then edited it together, giving you this because, you know, they filmed it live.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the audience. So it wasn't like a movie that – it wasn't like it was filmed for movies, so they filmed the scene and cut and did camera angles and this and that. No, no. And multiple cameras going at once, they filmed, they decided by watching the show what they wanted to do for camera angles at different parts. So they made sure they had the camera where they wanted it. But then they filmed three consecutive performances and then took the best cut from each, best take from each song from each performance. Which in a musical you can do because you have the consistency of the same costumes, the same actors, actresses, all that shit like that, you know. But yeah, no, they did a great job, and I learned a lot about Alexander Hamilton and a lot about the revolution there. And I just really enjoyed it. And there's some emotional moments. Like, these actors really get into it. Like, when George Washington basically is like, yeah, I'm stepping down as president, you know, my term is over, and I'm not going to rerun. So, like, there's a very dramatic song that George Washington sings, and you know, the actor's, like, crying. And it was just, it was so good. Like, I see why it got all the praise it got, and it got all the awards it got, and why people flock to go see it, and why people love it so much. It's phenomenal.
Thanks.
It was going to be on, he removed two F words from the show, yes. And he said one F word, but they bleeped it.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was supposed to be released to theaters in October 2021.
Oh, wow.
Like a lot, like over a year away.
Right.
And then because of COVID and this and that, Disney cut a deal with them and it's on Disney Plus. Nice. And I know so many people that have watched this and so many people love it.
I was going to watch it and I kind of ran out of time.
Yeah.
I watched so much other stuff.
It's 3 hours basically. Yeah. So no, it was it's well worth it. Absolutely well worth it.
Nice.
Huge sell, mega sell, huge mega sell. What'd you think of Hole in the Ground?
So, I guess I could sum it up by saying, oh, I see why Sam Raimi wants this guy to do Evil Dead.
Technically, it was really good.
Yes.
There were some beautiful shots.
Yep.
There was some great, intense, like, kind of high-tension moments in it. That's my takeaway.
Yeah.
Technically, it was wonderful.
Yes. Story-wise?
Visually, it was wonderful. But the story wasn't that great.
No.
The acting wasn't that great.
No, it really wasn't. That kid was...
Yeah, idiot. Yeah. But, yeah, I can definitely see why he got chosen to do this.
And it's one of the few horror movies that I think you could honestly say had a relatively happy ending to it.
Yeah, it kind of did. It really did.
I kept waiting for, like, in the end with the room full of mirrors, I kept waiting for, like, one of the mirrors to, like, show something else in her. Right. But,
or, like, she walks away and the person still stays in the mirror or, like, there's a quick, whatever the quick flash was for the camera. Oh, can we go back to Dark real quick?
Sure.
The letter that she finally opens.
And we don't get to see.
And we don't see what he wrote.
Yeah.
But when she reads the letter... At 10:13, that's when the ground shakes, whatever. That's when Mikkel disappears. And that's when the other boy appears.
And we don't get to see the letter, but she like looks at it and then folds
it back up, puts it back in the fucking box. Fucking bitch.
Yeah.
And obviously, none of them, that this is the guy that hung himself. It's his mother that has the letter. His son and ex-wife don't know anything about it. Or son and widow don't know anything about this letter.
Right.
Because the son even says, I just wish I knew why he did this, why he left us. Mm-hmm. So they don't know about the letter.
Right.
Anyways, back to Hole in the Ground. Yeah, I can see why he chose him. It was, you know, technically, visually, it was fantastic.
It definitely had the same kind of aesthetic that, not the comedy aspect, but the same kind of aesthetic in a horror movie kind of thing.
Even the soundtrack was good.
Yep.
The music was great.
Yep.
Visually, it was great. Technically, it was great. Aesthetically pleasing in that level.
The old woman slamming her head in the car window and bloodying herself. And...
Story and acting?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend watching it again.
I wouldn't either. But I'm glad I did.
Yep. What do you have for trailers?
I don't have any.
Me either.
News.
What you got?
A lot of people died recently. Like, Charlie Daniels died. And then the Italian composer, Ennio Morricone, or something like that, he passed away. He did The Good, Bad, the Ugly, a bunch of the other spaghetti westerns. Danny Hicks died. 68, passed away from cancer on June 30th. He played Jake in Evil Dead 2, which was his feature film debut. He was also in the movie The Intruder. He was in Maniac Cop. He was in Darkman. He was in Wishmaster. He was in My Name is Bruce. So he passed away. What you got for news otherwise?
Jason Momoa is going to be Frosty the Snowman.
What?
He's going to be the voice of a live-action Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
I can't see it.
I can't either.
I told you August 6th is going to be Lower Decks.
Yes.
Is that animated? Ray Fisher apparently hates Joss Whedon. Did you see this week?
I saw Kevin Smith was talking shit about Joss Whedon, too.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, specifically on the set of... Or on the set of...
The Snyder Cut thing?
Involving Justice League.
So, Ray Fisher had tweeted... Or he had done a thing at Comic-Con where he was sitting there and he was like, yeah, you know, this is really good and we're doing some good stuff and Joss is a good guy. So, he tweeted that video clip and basically said, I wish to unequivocally revoke everything that I said here. Which is like, wow, that's pretty heavy. And then the next day, he tweeted out more specifically and basically said, everything that we were put through was bullshit. It was abusive. He was an asshole. Like, I mean, really tearing him down. To the point where Alan Tudyk tweeted, and he's like, I've worked with Joss for years. I've never experienced any of that stuff. Sorry if you did. That doesn't sound like the guy that I know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Didn't he only work with him fucking... Justice League?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, not for nothing. Ray Fisher hasn't done shit.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't know why he would suddenly feel the need to come out so adamantly against Joss Whedon. I don't know if, like, something just happened recently where it was brought back up, but either way, it kind of took me by surprise that he would, you know, this guy who played Cyborg and you know, not a lot else, is suddenly like, I fucking hate this guy. He sucks. Like, yeah. Why? That happened years ago. Anyway.
Whatever. Don't worry, we got Zack Snyder's Justice League coming.
So you had mentioned that Stargirl got renewed. The Great also got renewed.
What did?
The Great.
Okay.
Got even darker this week, and it's even better. Jesus, The show is good. Sylvester Stallone said that he's working on a director's cut of Rocky IV. And that it's coming.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
He said it's going to be extended. It's going to have some stuff you've never seen before. So
I hope it's in theaters. I would go to the theater and watch Rocky IV.
And then you're going to buy it. And you're going to have to make a special spot on your shelf.
Okay. So my Rocky collection, I got rid of my DVD set because I bought the Blu-ray set that had all of them.
Right.
That because my Rocky II widescreen side of my disc had a scratch on it. So I can only watch the full screen side?
Oh, no. Oh, that is terrible, actually. Yeah.
So I've sent you, my buddy Brandon, three different news articles over the last week in regards to Star Wars, and I don't want to deep dive into any of them. But the first one was one source saying that the new trilogy is going to take place in an alternate universe and Disney's going to disregard
it. Yeah.
Second source saying that, no, they're going to bring Lucas in to do his 7, 8, 9 the way he imagined it.
Yeah,
his trilogy that he did works for, and he sold it to them when he sold them Star Wars, and they have blah blah blah. And then a third source saying, "No, this is not going to be in an alternate. The new trilogy is going to stay where it is. It's not going to be an alternate universe. Well, we're still going to bring George Lucas in to do his three films. So I don't fucking know.
Yeah, at this point, it's all rumors.
Yeah,
so I can't really take any of it with more than a grain of salt."
I just read today that J.J. Abrams is going to produce, along with his production company Bad Robot, a new live-action Constantine film.
Hmm. Yep.
I doubt Matt Ryan will be in it.
Yeah, I wonder if Keanu will. He's kind of having a resurgence right now.
Yep. So that'll be interesting.
Yep.
And with the new comic book, they did basically say that Keanu Reeves' Constantine is in the DC Universe lineage. Because they showed this one issue of a new Constantine comic recently that had a bunch of different images of Constantine in the back of the book from different universes, and one was Matt Ryan, one was Keanu Reeves. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
That's all the news I have.
I've got two more.
Go.
Both of which are very interesting. One I'm horny about.
Okay.
Not this one, but this one's very interesting and kind of cool. But I want to see how they do it. Comedy Central and Mike Judge are teaming up to relaunch Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, I saw that.
Two seasons, new spinoffs, and specials. Judge will write, produce, and voice the show, which will have the duo entering a whole new Gen Z world that the network says are relatable to fans of the original show and those who never got a chance to experience it. No word on when it's going to debut, but it's coming. Now, even more exciting than that for me, I am so stoked for this. Amazon is producing a new TV series based in the world of Fallout, which is a video game series.
Yes, I'm familiar with Fallout.
All takes place after the nukes were launched. The whole world has been nuked. And so there are some people who are still alive and they kind of try to do their best. There are mutants, which are they're basically the Hulk, you know, giant mutated green skinned motherfuckers who can talk, but they're mostly driven by just killing and protecting their property. There are ghouls, which are people who got blasts of radiation but still lived, and now they don't really age or die, but they are horribly misfigured. There's comedy, but it's more like serious role-playing game type thing. The thing is, like, these games, the Fallout games, started back in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
They've been around for so long, and there's... like, all of them built on the exact same mythology. So there's a constant narrative thread running under it. It's not like, oh, now we're rebooting the series. They all have the exact same framework to work under. But every time you get a Fallout game, it's in a different part. Like, one might be in D.C., one might be in Boston. So
okay,
the possibilities are endless. The even better part about this, I mean, I'm excited for that as it is. And it's coming to Amazon. But the better part is that they're getting Nolan to do it. The guy from Westworld. So they're getting the Westworld creative team.
Hmm.
Jonathan Nolan and what's her name there, who have been doing Westworld. They are going to be making this show.
Hmm.
I'm fucking thrilled. Because I already love their work on Westworld. And now they're going to be producing a Fallout show. Which, again, like I said, this isn't like Super Mario Brothers, where every time you turn around, there's a different Mushroom Kingdom, or there's a different this, or, you know, now they're in the Rabbids world or something. It's not like Zelda, where every time it's a different Link and a different Zelda. This is Fallout, where you could actually have a book that tells the history of everything that happened to the United States since the bombs dropped. And I'm thrilled about that.
Nice. Yeah. It should be fun.
Yeah. I could definitely see it being a TV show way more than a movie. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No.
You almost sounded like an obstinate child there. You're like, no, I don't.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
It's everything for me.
Cool.
Actually, you know what? One quick thing. Sure. Don't need to look at notes. Just curiosity. Let's briefly talk about aspect ratio.
Okay.
Because we kind of talked about it a little bit when I mentioned about my Rocky DVD.
Full screen versus widescreen. And we've talked about it in the past because we talked about working in a movie gallery and seeing the standees that said, this is what you're missing with full screen.
Right. So I've noticed, like, I think Netflix does this. I'm sure other streaming services do. And I'm curious how much they do this.
Do.
But, like, for instance, okay, Evil Dead. It was originally shot basically in 4:3.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more. It was shot on 16mm film. It was shot 4:3. It wasn't shot for home video. It was shot for being in the theater, and they were going to blow it up, but it was shot fucking 4:3.
Mm-hmm.
So when they released it on – so when you – back in the day when we watched the movies when we were teenagers and kids, we didn't know any different.
Right.
No one owned a widescreen TV, did. And when they did, you had the black bars on the side because it didn't take up the screen. And the only time it didn't is if you were watching a widescreen or a letterbox edition, as they called it. Mm-hmm. But basically, you just watched, you know, and most movies, even when they were filmed in the 50s and 60s, they were filmed to be widescreen to see on the big screen. People went to the movies to watch movies. And then when you watched a movie on TV or you rented a movie to bring home video, you expect it's going to fit your screen. Mm-hmm. So you didn't care that they were cutting the picture out. We did, because we're...
You know, curious.
So when I'm watching Evil Dead, you know, and this is so dumb because I guess I didn't realize this. When you look at something and it's called anamorphic widescreen, they've essentially taken the 4:3 image and cut it and stretched it so it'll fit a widescreen, but they've actually done just the opposite, and people don't even realize this, I think. When you take a widescreen movie and fit it to a 4:3, you're cutting the sides off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you make an anamorphic widescreen movie from a 4:3 movie, you're cutting the top and the bottom of the screen off to make it widescreen.
Yeah.
So again, you're not watching it the way the director intended you to watch the movie or how they filmed it. It's really misleading. Because for years, oh, widescreen's the best, widescreen's the best. Is it really, though?
Right.
Because I've noticed Netflix does this. They will automatically take a show that was originally filmed in 4:3 and stretch it. Mm-hmm. Or they'll do the anamorphic widescreen on it. They don't air it the way it's supposed to. And I've noticed a lot of TV channels will do the same thing.
Hulu doesn't. With my Scrubs rewatch, I'm seeing the black bars at the top.
Hulu is one of the rare ones that doesn't do it, but you can go into your settings in Hulu and have it do it if you wanted to. That was my feat.
Oh,
I summed them. So I guess when it comes to aspect ratio for you, do you still care?
In this case, the black bars, when I see them, like when I'm watching Scrubs, the black bars are a bit annoying. But I will take that over a stretched or a cropped image any day of the week. Family Guy is a good example. If you watch Family Guy on Hulu, everything fits your widescreen. There are no black bars. However, Seth MacFarlane has gone on record as saying, you know, when they did, I think it was season 8, which was the extended episode, and then there were fewer.
Yeah.
He's like, this is when we first started actually filming in widescreen, and we got the new computers and everything like that. And so that's why they did all the winding through the woods and stuff, all their little camera tricks. Because everything before that was 4:3.
Yeah.
And you can notice it. Like, everybody kind of looks a little stretched out and a little bit off. And
it's like watching X-Files. X-Files, the first few seasons, I think till season 5 or 6 maybe even.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been more for the X-Files. But it was all filmed in 4:3. Mm-hmm. And when I put my DVD in, it's 4:3. But when I watch it on Netflix, it's stretched. And I guess the question I'm getting to point is, I was like, you know, when you're watching an older movie... Like, if you're watching an older movie, the movie Tombstone. Okay, recently I saw it on VHS for 30 cents, and I don't own it anymore because I don't know what happened to it. I was like, oh, fuck, I'll just buy that for 30 cents and I'll watch it. Because when I watched it before, you know, I only saw the 4:3 version. That's all I'm going to see. It's not the widescreen VHS. What's it matter?
Right.
But it's so good. I want to see all the picture. It's like when you watch Star Wars. When you watch the widescreen version, like there's scenes where you see Luke training and you see Obi-Wan sitting there off to the side. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the 4:3 cut, you don't see Obi-Wan at all. You just see Luke training.
Yep.
And it's things like that.
Yep.
So I guess right now I'm like, does it still matter? Does it not matter anymore? Have our TVs now tricked us to think like, well, everything has to look widescreen. We can't have those black bars on the side. Just like our TV used to trick us. Oh, we can't have the black bars on the top or the bottom. We got to fill the screen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying, I think.
It is. I would agree.
Anyhow, I guess that's my ramble.
Okay.
I'm Superstar Mel on Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
We'll talk to you next week.
Later.